This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You can reach us at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Coming up, a very special guest. But before we get to him, I believe Raj is on the D'Angelo Russell snitch line right now, Raj?
Yes, I have a very special report. I called the snitch line. I called it on our friend, well, I don't know if we can call him friend, Marcus Spears. Once he demanded to be our first guest on Monday, remember rehearsal, he said lose his numbers. Not only did he ghost us then, he ghosted us less than an hour ago, Max. And not only that, I have more snitching to do. Yeah. I heard him on Greeny's show. I heard him on Shanae and Golic Jr.'s show. Like, he's going on other shows before yours, man. I'm pretty disappointed. I can snitch
supposed
all day on
to be my
I'm
boy. Get on the last radio show that he came on. Listen, look at that, Marcus Spears. Now we see your true colors.
Hey, Max, tell Raj to follow protocol. I've been on the show, man. I ain't got all the time to talk to y'all about all that. Raj needs to get over his feelings. And what do you want to talk about, Max?
Look at that. Very professional. He refuses to answer. So do you, sir, refuse to answer these allegations?
I plead the fifth. Based on what my attorney told me before I came on this radio.
Yeah. That's right. Listen, Marcus, I asked this to Kenny Smith today on First Take. I said, tell me why I'm wrong, because he's the sensible one on that show, which, by the way, is like the greatest TV show ever. And he said, no, you're actually right. So now I'm going to ask you the same thing, okay? Tell me why I'm wrong. Not only are the Clippers in trouble right now, because the Clippers have been my pick since the preseason, but my sleeper has been the Mavs. Not only are the Clippers in trouble, except for that bogus ejection of Kristaps, where they don't call the foul on Zubac, which he fouled Kristaps, or Kristaps would have scored. Very next play, they blow a whistle on a clean block on the defensive end. Kristaps had the clean block. They blow a whistle. So, of course, he's frustrated. He doesn't make a big deal out of it. They tee him up. That's three wrong moves by the refs. And then later on, he's not exactly playing peacemaker, but if you look at the video closely, he kind of shoves. Like, he's really creating space, and then Morris shoves him too, and they tee him up again. Yeah. They didn't need to be giving out tees, and eject him. And the only time the Clippers have been better than the Mavs has been during the time Kristaps was ejected. Otherwise, Mavs are better than the Clippers, but here it is, Marcus Spears. This is what I'm really saying. I look at this Mavs team, I think they can go all the way right now. I think the Mavs can go all the way, Marcus. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Max, I would love to argue with you and Kenny about it. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong, man. The only caveat I see with the Mavs is Luka run out of gas. That's the only way I see them not being able to play, win, and compete in every game. And by the way, might I say this while we're talking about this? Luka Doncic is the third best player in the league. Wow. And I only say that because KD is not playing. Yep. And you know who I think number one is, and that's not going to change until he probably retire. But listen, they are as good, and we know Carlisle coach beyond reproach, man. I was in Dallas when they won the championship with Dirk and Jason Terry. That wasn't the best team on paper in the NBA.
No, it wasn't. But Dirk was the best player that year in the playoffs.
No doubt. And you may be looking at the best player this year. And Luka Doncic is
Marcus, so, I don't know if it's the best player, but they're the best duo right now. Given the way Paul George just played last night and the fact that they haven't really been healthy together much, given the way LeBron and AD have played recently, which is excellent, but not enough to overcome Portland and the lack of shooting, Kristaps and Luka, and then look at this, Marcus. I'm thinking like, think about this. Who gets real minutes in their rotation, all right? So Luka's the point forward, whatever you want to call him. Who else plays in the backcourt? Seth Curry, who shoots the lights out. Trey Burke gets minutes. Trey Burke is an offensive player and also is shooting very well this year from downtown. Who else? Tim Hardaway Jr. went from being overrated a little few years ago to underrated because not only can he do more things offensively, he shoots 40% from three. He takes seven threes a game. Like, this dude is, or however many threes a game. Yeah, he takes a bunch of threes every game. So the backcourt is filled with guys who can shoot. Now let's look at the front court players. Someone like Dorian Finney-Smith, right? This dude guards every position on the floor, can also bomb. Someone like Kleba. Kleba is 6'10", blocks shots, plays defense, and can also bomb. Like, everywhere you look, even a guy like Boban, you can't let him catch the ball too near the basket. It's an automatic score, and I haven't even mentioned Porzingis. Like, why can't they win it? They could win the whole thing right now.
By the way, seven-footer. They got rim defenders.
Seven-three.
And if you go back, it's real similar, man. It's real similar to when I was watching them make their run. And the one thing, I don't know if people remember this. I know you do because I think you were on the radio in L.A. during the time. Do you remember how they shot the Lakers out the gym? I'm talking about got hot, and it was ridiculous. And I was in the stadium that day, and we were going. It was disbelief beyond above NBA fans, the way they were shooting. And, Max, to that point, man, they have guys, if they get streaky for these playoffs, you're going to have to score 120 to beat them.
And then not only that, they may not have great defensive guards. But in the front court, I mentioned Finney-Smith. I mentioned Kleba and Porzingis. And you know what else? You brought up a good point about the height. When the Mavs beat the Lakers, one thing that had me a little nervous going into that series was because I was I'm a Lakers fan, and I was in L.A. doing the radio station of the Lakers, 710 radio. ESPN. And one thing that made me nervous is the Lakers had Kobe and Powell, but they also had the most height in their heavy rotation of any team in the league because they had Powell and Lamar Odom.
Andrew
Bynum, and they could all play.
He was kind of emerging. That's when he lost his mind and punched JJ Barea or something.
Right, he was, but he was good at the time and getting better. Okay, so they had three guys with height who could play in the rotation. Dallas, I looked at Dallas, I said, Haywood, Dirk. Tyson Chandler. They also not only had all the shooting, but had the size in heavy rotation in their front court. You look at the Mavs. When people talk about small ball, that doesn't mean you have to be short. It means you can shoot and handle and do stuff like that. They got Porzingis 7'3". He's not the tallest dude on the team, and Porzingis is a stud. Boban's bigger than him, and I said Kleba's 6'10".
I don't think people realize that Luka Doncic is 6'7", bringing the ball up the court. He's the point guard. So it is. They have not only. I mean, basketball has always been about trying to exploit weaknesses of the other team, finding them holes, and doing it at a high level. That's what Phil was so great at. That's what Doc Rivers has been great at. That's what Spurs, man. Come on, man. Spurs coach. Anyway,
Popovich.
That's what they all exploit that weakness. If you think about Pop, one year was Manu Ginobili being the MVP. The other year was Tony Parker being the MVP. Another year was Tim Duncan. So they force people to play their style of ball. And right now, the Mavs are forcing the Clippers to play the way they want to play. And two, let me say this too, man. Like, I look at Kawhi, and Kawhi a baller, and you can't argue with it. But this is exactly what Max Kellerman would say to anybody else if this was LeBron James, because I've been on there with you enough. Why won't Kawhi pick up Luka Doncic the entire game? Because, Max, I'm going to tell you something. If they lose this series, do you know how loud the noise is going to be? Luka got 70 points in two games.
Bro. I don't think Kawhi's defense is the issue. I think with Porzingis in the game, the knowledge of him in the paint is enough to make every shot approaching the rim, the shooter, the offensive player, in their own mind, increases the level of difficulty because they know this has got to be a high arcing shot, right? I got to put an extra move on to shake him. And even when they make it, it's a very difficult shot.
And everybody talked about Montrezl Harrell and how he would be because of his energy. That energy don't grow you 3-4 more feet, bro.
Yeah, that's
like
right.
That don't help you in that situation. Now, I will say this. Once Patrick Beverley get back, they'll have somebody to hound Luka. Mm-hmm. But I don't think Luka can be stopped, man. I mean, you could frustrate him. You can make him work on both ends of the floor.
Marcus, Swagoo.
Luka is a walking 20.
Luka was on the bench when they were killing him last night. Like, this is what I mean. This is a good team. Luka was sitting on the bench, and the Mavs were doing what needed to be done. They just have size, shooting. They got a lot.
They well coached, man. Listen.
Yeah, Rick Carlisle. You're right.
The Clippers in trouble, man.
They're in trouble. But what I'm saying, this is what I mean, Marcus. They're not just the Clippers. Everyone might be in trouble. Huh?
Yeah, you're right. The key to the Clippers is Paul George. Paul George got to play better, bro. Like, Paul George has to become an all-star superstar in that conversation for top five like he was a while back. Now, I don't know if he still has it, but he's going to have to play like that in order for the Clippers to get this series done and not go to seven and be burned before the next series starts. Listen, this is very simple. Right now, to your point, Max, and why Kenny didn't disagree, the Mavs are clearly better than the Clippers.
Yeah.
As
a matter of fact, when you talk about Paul George, Marcus, Paul George was very good in game one when they needed him to be, and it took that to beat the Mavs when Porzingis went out. It took a real good performance by Paul George to supplement Kawhi with Porzingis out in order for them to come back on the Mavs in the second half of the game. Like, yeah, the Clippers are – I think the Clippers are in worse trouble than the Lakers, and they're lucky to be 1-1 right now.
What I think everybody got, and look, I still think the Clippers are good, don't get me wrong, but I think everybody got enamored with not only the rotation, the defenders that you would have on the wing, but also the scorers. You got Lou Will, who was a 30 bucket. Reggie Jackson came over from Detroit. So we all thought, no matter what, they'll be able to outscore people. And then we talking about two of the best defenders perimeter-wise in the NBA, and we all know ain't nobody really playing down low anymore. So if you can contest balls and clear out the shooters and all of that, you can get things done. But right now, man, listen, to your point, there is no answer for Porzingis because he's 7 foot and he's skilled, and he knocking threes down from 30 feet. And then you got Luka, who is 6'7". So who are you going to guard him with? That's why I went back to either you got to say, Paul, you got to lock up, and when you leave, it's going to have to be Kawhi to guard Luka, bro. The motor in that offense is Luka. And if you are going to beat the – if they're going to beat the Mavs, they're going to have to figure out a way to not only eliminate Luka from going crazy and almost averaging a 30 bomb, but also making his nights hell on the defensive side of the court, man. So, listen – like you said, they in trouble. We can go all day,
but you have many things to do right now. I have to pay some bills, and you have to go be on every other radio show except this one, I'm sure. I hope that that in the coming weeks and months, you find some time for us here on the Max Kellerman Show. Hey, your boy.
Relax, man. It's like the 76ers. It's a process with you and Raj, Max.
Yeah, Raj. There we go again.
It'll take a while.
there we go again. Raj, you know, I have fought for you to be on this show. You do me like that. Messed up. All right, Swagoo. Good looking out. Thanks for coming on the show. You too.
The Max Kellerman Show. The podcast.
Max Kellerman Show. ESPN Radio. NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as LeBron and the Lakers battle the Blazers. Presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern. On most ESPN radio stations. 888-SAY-ESPN is how you can reach us. And the Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Reach us at 888-SAY-ESPN, as I mentioned, 888-729-3776. I know a lot of people are looking at Game 2 against Portland as a must-win game for the Lakers. And I know I just got through talking about how great the Mavs are and how the Clippers are in trouble, but the fact remains, even though I think the Mavs got jobbed in the first game, it's 1-1 series. Lakers are down 0-1. And Damian Lillard's been the best player in the bubble. And game one, LeBron and them started making a run, and it was mentioned on the broadcast how tired Portland suddenly looked. And it just felt like here comes the avalanche. The Lakers are starting to go downhill, and Portland won't be able to stay with them. And I mentioned something that I used to talk to Teddy Atlas about boxing analyst here on ESPN and Hall of Fame boxing trainer. He used to talk about how when an old fighter fights a young fighter, the old fighter, if he was a once great fighter, tries to see, is this young guy real? But if the young guy responds that he is, shows the old guy he's real, the old guy packs it up. Because I guess because he sees himself in the young guy or sees that he can't just punk him, you know? And he's old and doesn't have it anymore. I think LeBron still has it. I think the Lakers are still going to win the series. But I have to admit, game one gave me that feeling. Here come the Lakers. The roof's going to cave in. Lillard. Like first LeBron drives to the hoop. Is met by Whiteside on the one end in a tie game. And then Lillard comes down the other end, picks up the dribble 13 feet behind the three-point line and drills it like it's nothing. And that was the end of the Lakers. It was all downhill from there for the Lakers. So I get why people think this is a must-win game for them. They're not getting shooting. That's what Danny Green is there for. I like Danny Green a lot as a player. But that's what Danny Green is there for. 3-and-D guy, especially on a team without a lot of three-point shooting. He really has to hit those shots. He has not been good enough in the bubble. But I expect that to regress to the mean, as they say, meaning it'll revert back to what's normal for him, which is hitting shots. Is this a must-win game for the Lakers? You know, it's funny. If they weren't in a bubble, maybe you would say yes. It is a must-win game because they're the higher seed, the one seed. So they just had two home games in normal times, and then they don't want to go back to Portland down 0-2. But they're in a bubble. They ain't going to Portland. Actually, it works for the Lakers. I think they can go down 0-2 and still win the series. You know, game two in any seven-game series ever played, in any series ever played, period, no matter how many games, game two is the pivotal game. Because what you can say about every series ever played is either one team is going to be up 2-0 and very likely to win the series, or it's going to be any one series, like 50-50, 1-1. I mean, that's true of every game two ever played. Here there seems more urgency because of how hot Portland is. But given the fact that Portland will not be going back to Portland, that the Lakers will not be facing a hostile crowd down 0-2, I believe that it's actually not must win yet for the Lakers. With help from the Home Depot, you can take on fall projects without ever leaving your own backyard. Use their mobile app to search, shop, and more. Flexible delivery options that bring everything you need right to your door. And if you need tools for a project, but not forever, you can rent them. You won't find a better toolbox anywhere else. Get ready for fall with the help of the Home Depot. How doers get more done. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I know I keep promising I'm going to get the calls. Well, we'll see if I do or I don't. I think I'm going to. Everyone's blaming Embiid and Coach Brown, but I'll tell you the real problem with the Sixers. Max Kellerman Show. Yeah, let me say my own name right. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Yeah, what's the scenario? I'll tell you the scenario. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Progressive line. Reach us at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. By the way, I'm going to show you. I have things to do right now. I'm going to prove to you I'm going to take some calls. Matt, in L.A., you're on the Max Kellerman Show. Go ahead.
Max. First of all, we missed you in L.A.
Yes, yes.
TV Max doesn't hit the same as Radio Max. Right. Man, you got me through college.
I've heard that.
It's true. You and Marcellus every day, man. You guys got me through college, stacking books, working in the library. So thank you, Max.
Yes, you are welcome. This is a very good introductory call, Raj. See how grateful he is. Go ahead.
Just about this Lakers-Blazers series. As a Lakers fan here in L.A., I always love watching Dame Lillard from afar. Dude is ridiculous. You love to see him go off like this, but hate it has to be him who gets eliminated in six. You know, we're not worried about that. But all I can really think about is why does it have to be this way? You know, why can't we see Dame go up against the Clippers and shut up those clowns that disrespected him? That's what hurts the most, really.
I would rather play Portland than Dallas. If I was the Lakers or the Clippers, I'd rather play Portland than Dallas. I think Portland can win. I think Portland has the best player in the bubble right now. I think Dallas might be the best team in the bubble right now. I don't know. Like Dallas can win the championship right now. I'm just telling people. That's a absurdly Like, for a team that big to have that kind of talent, and Marcus Spears pointed it out earlier, Doncic is 6'7", 6'8". Porzingis is 7'3". Boban is like 8 feet tall. I don't know how tall is Boban, but when Porzingis isn't your tallest guy who can play. And then you have Finney Smith is a defends five positions and can shoot. I mentioned like the little guys in the backcourt who aren't defenders but can shoot. Like Trey Burke is an offensive player, always has been. And Seth Curry is in, like he's like an all-time great level shooter. Seth Curry can shoot the lights out. Everyone I just mentioned can shoot. Doncic takes 6, 7, 8 threes a game, however many. He has like shooting 31-32%. He's the only guy who doesn't hit him a lot. Kleba, 6'10", guards multiple positions, defends the rim, and shoots the three. Everywhere you look. Everywhere. Tim Hardaway Jr. is taking 6, 7 threes a game and hitting 40% of them. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. SGT Schultz in L.A. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, and I'm Max Kellerman. Go ahead.
Hey, Max. You're harder to get through than the California Unemployment Department. It's kind of amazing.
Yes, very popular. Go ahead.
A quick aside, before I get to the load management concept, but I want to prepare everyone for the second coming of Olympics Melo. I think Melo's inner beast has been biding its time. Yeah. For when the heat picks up, and if he gets to the second round, he's going to burn the world down, I think.
Maybe. Listen, I'll say this. And thank you, SGT. That's quite enough of you. But I'll say this. These idiots who called Melo washed. Can you believe that, Raj? On national TV, you call Carmelo Anthony washed?
I was one of them. I was wrong. I was mistaken.
Shame on
man.
You.
I thought it was
shame
bad.
On you and anyone who said that. Me. Rudy in Las Vegas, you're on anyone? With Max Kellerman. This is the Max Kellerman Show.
Max, yeah. That dark horse you was talking about in Dallas, I agree with you. Stephen A. was shaking his head no this morning. He's wrong. You're right. Most of the time, you are right.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
The California teams, the L.A. teams are in trouble. Yep. They're in trouble.
And by the way, you know what's great about it? Like,
they're changing all the time. I'm watching them all the time.
I love
it. Damian Lillard's going to go off. They're going to beat the Lakers. I don't know.
No. I'll say this. I lived in L.A. for 6 years. I love L.A. I root for the L.A. teams. I root for the Lakers. I root against the Clippers, to tell you the truth. Although not since I picked them, because now I have a rooting interest since I want to look smart on TV and everything. But I got to tell you, when you enter the bubble, you're hoping, hey, maybe this is a year where the one problem with the NBA, which is their playoffs, best of seven, the nature of basketball is such that in a best of seven series, the best team's going to win. And that you don't have the same randomness injected into the postseason that you do in baseball, where that's not the case, or football, where it's also not the case. And you're kind of hoping that this is what the bubble will do, these unusual circumstances. Maybe we get some upsets and we can't just predict the whole thing. Sure enough, the Bucks lose their first game to the Magic. The Lakers are down 0-1 to Portland and looking bad. The Clippers are lucky to be 1-1 with the Mavs. It's awesome. Do I have time to play this Brett Brown sound, Raj?
Go for it. Let's do it.
Here's the Sixers coach after the Sixers got blown out, as it turned out, by the Celtics in Game 2.
You make sure you hold the spirit of a locker room. You make sure that the group understands there's enough character and there's enough talent in the room to regroup. If the planet were normal, you'd be going back to Philadelphia, and they did what they should have. And the message is some level of belief. And what I said, I mean, I think that there is enough character and there's enough talent in the room to respond. I think it got deflating when their shot makers went bananas. And I'm not gonna scold their effort. I think that you got to shake their hands to the Celtics on some of the shots.
So that's Coach Brett Brown And here's Joel Embiid, because Brett Brown is being blamed, like Stephen A. Smith blamed him on First Take today. And Embiid has been blamed. Here's Embiid on whether the team is tough enough.
Then my thing is we just got to be more physical than them. I don't think tonight we were. They were more physical than us, offensively and defensively. So we just got to be tougher than them.
It's not Brett Brown, and it's not Embiid. Those are not the problems. The problem is Josh Harris, the owner. The problem is that Adam Silver saw what Sam Hinkie was doing. Harris made a good hire by hiring Sam Hinkie. Hinkie went with a process. Is the process as good as what Golden State does or what the Spurs do? Identify talent in the draft wherever you're drafting. Don't tank. Identify the talent. Develop the talent. Be a desirable destination for free agents. Like, is that like as Miami is at times? Is that no, it's not as good as that way. But it's better than like the Knicks way, which is just try to be good but be incompetent forever. Or some other teams that are on like first or second round treadmills forever because they never have a real difference-making kind of player on their team. Sam Hinkie realized the lottery balls may not fall my way, or we may not identify the right guy. Tanking one season. We're going to tank three or four seasons. We're going to get so many lottery balls that some of them are going to hit. It worked. They had two generational talents on the team. Two special talents in Embiid and Simmons. Franchise-altering talents. I think Adam Silver saw that. Not that the process wasn't working. He was scared. It worked. The process is working. There's going to be copycats. I can't have a league with three, four, five teams constantly tanking for two or three or 4 years. It goes to the integrity of the game, and it's bad for TV ratings. It's just bad business. So I got to do something. All right, get Hinkie out of there. So they get Hinkie out of there, but they brought in Colangelo? Brian Colangelo? Was that some kind of a joke? At the time, I told you it was a joke. Colangelo comes in. It's a bigger disaster than you could have imagined. Imagine a guy comes in where you know you could see it. Anyone smart could see it ahead of time. This is going to be a disaster. And it's 10 times worse than you could have even imagined. What does that remind me of? Anyway. A disaster. So they get rid of Colangelo and they bring in Elton Brand. But Elton Brand is forced to keep a lot of Colangelo's staff. What sense does that make? It's idiotic. That's why the Sixers find themselves in this predicament. That's why. You want to blame someone? Blame the owner of the Sixers, Josh Harris. You either got to stand up to Adam Silver if he's telling you things that you don't think are right. Or if you're going to do something, don't half-step. I don't think Elton Brand's a good GM. But certainly he doesn't have a chance to be if he has to keep some of his predecessor, who was a disaster staff.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Reach us at 888-SAY-ESPN. It's 888-729-3776. Gleyber Torres hurt for the Yankees. I mean, it doesn't end. Stanton and Judge and Torres, they're a deep team, but how much can you take? Torres just started hitting. And he, by the way, he's not fielding much, and it's a shortened season. He's going to have a bad year. You know, last I checked, the Yankees were losing. Did they lose this game already? But they're a very, very deep team, but at a certain point, how much can you withstand? The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is brought to you by My Computer Career, Training for a Better Life. Cass in Virginia. You're on with Max Kellerman, ESPN Radio.
Hey, what's going on, Max? How you doing?
Great, Cass. Let me just tell everyone on this show, these are not social calls. Normally, I would immediately hang up. I want everyone to get right to their opinion so we can get to lots of calls. Go ahead, Cass.
Good, good, good. So when you said Dame is probably the best player in the bubble, I would kindly disagree, because with Luka, as being so young as he is, from the jump, has been consistent in my opinion. Even
what does his age have to do with how good he is in the bubble, though? I mean, it's very impressive. You may say Luka's the most impressive player in the bubble when you consider his age, but why does he being younger than Dame make him better than Dame?
Does Dame need McCollum? Because
yeah.
Luka does not need Porzingis.
Oh, he certainly 100%. Does. Actually, the Mavs had that game under control. it wasn't a foregone conclusion, but they were winning the game. They were the better team. Porzingis gets ejected in game one, and the Clippers go on a run, and that's the end of that. Clippers never look back. He does need Porzingis, and he has a lot of other help, but he also needs Porzingis. Look, if you want to tell me Doncic is an amazing player, I agree. If you want to say he's better at the same age than Dame was, no doubt. Dame wasn't this good when he was Doncic's age. But at this moment, who's been the better player? And Dame is dropping. A night after he drops 50, is dropping 60 and showing that and following that up with 40 in wins, and then plays him into the playoffs, and then beats the Lakers. He's hitting shots from 13 feet behind the arc. Dame has a better shooting percentage from 10 feet behind the arc than Doncic does from the three-point line. Think about that for a second. Doncic is great. Doncic is an MVP this year, more than Dame has been. But in the bubble, it's Dame Lillard. Teddy in New York City. You're on with Max Kellerman.
Hey Max. Thanks so much for taking the call. I wanted to go back to something you talked about yesterday, which is the final streak in LeBron's place in history. I respect LeBron for sure, but I think his place in history is somewhat embellished in large part due to the final streak. I get angry that sophisticated sports writers with advanced journalism degrees never identify their own conspicuous to me contradiction, which is as follows. Mm-hmm. If the West has been so much better than the East for so long, and it has, for the duration of LeBron's career, and how is winning the East over and over for 8 straight years impressive? It doesn't make sense.
Well, I hear
argue that LeBron's same teams of Cavs and Heat might not have even made it out of the West even once.
They would have made it out of the West more than once. But I hear what you're saying. It's not a bad point. But now think about it this way: his first championship appearance against the Spurs, he had no other All Star on the team, and yet got to the finals. That's impressive. His next appearance, with the Heat, he got beaten by what I thought was an inferior team, and he choked. Then he won back-to-back finals, and they lost to the Spurs, right? Then he goes to the Cavs. Let's look what happened against the Warriors. That first championship that the Warriors won, LeBron's second-best player was Matthew Dellavedova. He had neither Kyrie nor Kevin Love, and he took them 6 games. They'd have beaten, clearly would have beaten the Warriors had Kyrie and Kevin Love been available. Clearly. Then the next year, the Warriors win 73 games, and LeBron does beat them. Then they added KD. At that point, you have no chance to win. You add KD to a 73-win team, no team ever is going to beat that team. So you can't hold that against LeBron. Here, let's do it another way. If you don't want to go to the kind of otherwise sophisticated writers who use all these finals appearances, you think out of proportion, look at LeBron's, let's just look at his PER, which kind of is a good quick number that tells you about points, rebounds, and assists on a per-possession basis, right? Efficiency. You know, if you have high 20s, you're an MVP candidate. For his career, he's averaging 27.5. For his career, the dude led a PER 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, years in a row. Max Kellerman Show, Chiney and Golic Jr. next.